Once upon a time. Once upon a time. There was an old, 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 old lady. And this old lady, she had a crooked back. She had a crooked back. And she had a long nose that reached all the way down to her chin. Lived in a house all on her own, way off in the woods. She lived in a house way off in the woods. And every day she went scouring the forest, everywhere she went scouring the forest, she went looking for herbs and things growing on the trees, and sometimes fungus was growing on bark and she'd peel it off and she'd put it in a little bag. And she'd go and she'd find some little strange flowers in amongst the other ones, and she'd pick just those ones and she'd put those in her bag. And other times she'd walk around and she'd see a certain leaf that had just come that was green and fresh, and she'd know exactly what she wanted, and she'd pick that one and she'd put it in her bag. Now all the time she was doing all this searching, she'd never come across what happened to her that morning. There she was out in the forest, and she was searching through all the familiar places, where she comes to a tree and she pushes aside the leaves, and what does she see as she pushes aside the leaves? There, there's this face on the other side. And it's a green face with green eyes and a green beard and a green nose and a green moustache. And this green man, he's crying. He's crying tears. And the old witch, she looks at this green man. She looks at this green man. She's thinking, why is he crying and why is he here? She says, "Who are you?" And the green man, he says, "I am all nature." "All nature," she said. "I am the spirit of the forest," said the green man. She said, "The spirit of the forest, is that true?" He said, "Yes." And she said, "Why are you crying?" And the green man, he said, "Do you not have eyes?" She said, "Yes, I have eyes. Can't you see what's going around here? All the destruction of my forest?" She said, "I was only picking the flowers." He said, "No, no, not the flowers that you're picking. Have you seen what's going on?" She says, where? He said, "Follow me." And he walked through the forest, and he had an astounding lower body. He had this long green tail, and he had legs that were like deer. And yet he walked upright like a man. He said, "Follow me." And they walked until they came to a clearing. And right there by the clearing, they looked in, and what did they see? Oh, it was horrible. You could kind of feel the ground as you got there. You could feel the ground as you got there. There was diggers. There was earth moving machines. There was excavators, and there were 20 men digging in the ground, digging in the ground. And the old witch, she dropped her bag. She dropped her bag on the floor, and all the little herbs and the leaves and the things, they just spilled to the rim of the bag. And she stared with her mouth open. She said, "I had no idea this was happening." He said, "Well, it was happening right under your nose, missy." She said, "This is awful. When's it going to stop?" The green man, he started crying not just out of one eye, he started crying out the other eye. He said, "That's the problem. I don't know when it's going to stop." She said, "We've got to do something. We've got to do something. We've got to do something about it. Can't we do something about it?" The green man, he said, "You know what? I've tried all kinds of things, but they don't listen. In fact, they can't even see me. It's only types like you that could ever see me." "Well, what can I do?" said the witch. "What can I do? To be honest, I'm not even sure what you could do." "Oh, no," she said, "I can do all kinds of things. I've got to stop this." And the green man, he shrugged his shoulders and he wandered back into the forest. He said, "If you work out a way of doing that, then just call me. I'd like to help." And she went back into the forest and she went back into the forest and she was so sad. She thought, "I've got to do something." And all that afternoon she went about picking the flowers and the leaves and the fungi off the tree and all the things she'd normally do. But today it was a different kind of spell that she was out to make. Oh yes. Different kind of spell she was out to make. She was thinking, "I've got to do something, I've got to do something, I've got to do something." And this wish, this desire to do something, it started moving her hand to that leaf and moving her hand to that fungus there. And moving her hand to that flower, that one right there. And so she was picking all kinds of things she wasn't used to picking, things she hadn't picked before, didn't quite rightly know what they were good for. But soon her bag, it was quite full. It was quite full like that. And then she goes home and she goes back to her house and she cooks something up. She cooks something up. And she starts bubbling and boiling a little potion on the fire and she starts throwing these things and she's not quite sure what order to throw them in, but somehow her hand seemed to know that one. Oh, and then this one. And then that one. Until soon, she has a bubbling potion on the stove. And it's lovely and it's sweet smelling. And it's all done. And then she thinks to herself, "Well, what am I to do with this? What am I to do with this?" And she pours it into a little flask and she screws up the lid of the flask and she puts it in her pocket and she goes to the very edges of the forest, the very edges of the forest where those guys were working, those men were working, and she just looks at them. She thinks, what can I do? And she looks around, she sees how quickly, even in the afternoon that she'd been away, how quickly they were doing their digging and their chopping of trees and their excavating and moving of earth. And she feels dreadfully sad and a bit shocked at how quickly it's going. And she says, "Right, I've got to do something, but I don't know what it is." And she just steps up to the foreman, that means the man in charge. She steps up to the foreman and she says, "Hey, do you need a worker around here?" And the foreman, he looks at her. She seems like just an old lady and not the sort of person he'd normally be hiring. He says, "What can you do? I need someone to do some digging and I need someone operating that excavating machine because my man's off sick. Can you do that kind of work?" She says, "I can't rightly do, no. I'm not very skilled at that kind of work, but I can make tea. Do you need some tea round here?" He said, "Oh, no, it's all right. I don't need tea. We've got someone that makes the tea already, or rather the men just make the tea when they need one." She said, "Oh, but you don't have my kind of tea." He says, "Well, what's your kind of tea?" "Well, it's very good. It gets the men working harder." He leans forward. He says, "Did you say gets them working harder?" She says, "Yes. It's kind of magical." "Well, that's very interesting," he says. "I have a sense there's a few of my men are a bit idle and I could use something that would get them working a bit harder. So look, there's a caravan over there. You can get in there and you can start making the tea, and tea time is in about an hour. Can you do that?" She says, it doesn't take more than a few minutes to make my kind of tea. It'll all be ready for you when you take your break. And he says, good. And so she goes to that little caravan, and it's cozy and warm inside, and she gets all that flask out. She gets the flask out from her belt, and she starts brewing up a teapot that's a mixture of the normal kind of tea with just a little bit of her kind of tea mixed in. Oh yes. And then she pours it into cups, all the cups the men have there ready. Oh yes. Until soon it's all ready, soon it's all waiting, 20 cups, 20 cups for all the 20 men that's going to come in. And she opens the caravan door at the appointed hour and she says, tea time! And all the men, why, it's hard work out there. And you know, working that hard, when you get a break, the chance of a break, you take it just like that. And they all drop their tools and they run to the caravan and they all pile into the caravan. And they take the tea and they're hungry, thirsty men, and they've been working hard, so they don't really notice that it's got this funny little taste in it. Tastes like the normal stuff, but with a funny little twist to it. But they're thinking, well, I must just be extra tired today. Maybe that's what's happened. And so they drink it up, and they drink it up, and they drink it up, and they drink it up. And as they're drinking, her magic, her wishes, they go into their bodies. Oh, yes. And it's a subtle thing at first. It's not very strong. But those men, they go away and they start working again. They start working again. But something's happened, which is they can't quite work in the same way because they're in the middle of their digging and they're kind of driving their digging machine. And in the middle of their digging, they just notice how beautiful, how lovely that branch is that's overhanging the building site. Oh, that's lovely. And for a moment, they're distracted from all their digging and stuff, and they just start looking at that branch that's overhanging. Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, and then they remember what they're supposed to be doing and they get back to their... And then another man, he might be working away with some other kind of machine, and he's working away there and it's... digging out the ground that's just by the edge, digging it up and... And what does he see down there, right there? There's a little flower. There's a little flower, and it's so lovely, it's so pretty, that he's, for a moment, just watching it. And he's swearing that he's never seen a flower looking quite that lovely and pretty-like. And for a moment, he's quite distracted. Well, this goes on, and it goes on for quite some days. Every time she makes the tea, it's the same brew, but she makes it just a little bit stronger. So day by day, they're not noticing that pretty soon they're drinking straight witch's potion, pure stuff right down. And now they're going out to their digging machines, and it's like they can't touch the controls without being suddenly distracted by that bird is so lovely. Or, wow, the sun on the grass. Oh, it makes your heart sing. Until pretty soon there's 20 guys, and they're sitting by the edges of the clearing that they've been making, and they're just gazing up into the trees, and they're looking at the branches, and they're admiring the sunlight on the bark of the trees, and there's no work being done. Now, just so happens that the foreman was out for several days on some other project, and he comes back And he's looking forward to finding his men, rediscovering the art of hard work with that witch's tea. He's looking forward to coming back and seeing everything proceeding at a faster pace. And what does he see? But there, scattered round the edges of the site, there's a bunch of fairies, a bunch of men all just sitting on the grass, looking up into the trees and admiring the beauty they see there. And he almost has a fit. And he goes straight to the caravan of the witch. He goes straight to the caravan of the witch. And he says there, "What in tarnation is going on? You told me your men, my men, would be working harder with your intervention. And now look at them. Is there something you've been putting in the tea?" She says, "Oh my, you look terribly stressed out. Why don't you come inside and have a cup of tea yourself?" And I don't know how, but there's something about her words and how warm the caravan is. And he steps in one step and he says, but those, and it smells so good in there. It smells so nice, so warm, that as she invites him in and he sits down on the chair, she says, "Look, have a cup." And she gives him a cup of her finest. And all that drive that man has to get something done, it starts to quiver and waver. All that drive, it starts to quiver and waver until he just slumps back in his chair and he realizes how incredibly tired he is. He just sits back and I'm exhausted. She says, "Well, have another cup of tea then. Have yourself another cup of tea." And so he sits there and he drinks another one. And then he feels even more relaxed and even more quiet and even more peaceful. And all the men, they come in, they say, "Hey, chief, come look what we found." And he says, What have you found?" And all the men, they gather around him and they say, come and have a look. And there, right by the edge of the site, all the men are gathered round, and there's a hole in the ground that somehow one of them got to dig in. All the men are gathered round it. And the foreman, he looks over the shoulders and he sees there in the ground, there's a great big golden chest. "What's that?" says the foreman. "What's that?" "We left it for you, chief, to open." And the man, he goes to the box and he opens the lid, and inside there's just air. There's just air. But it's the fragrance inside there. It's the warm wind of a summer's night. Of the wind whipping across the sea, of an alpine meadow, of everything so fresh and so lovely that your heart melts. And the chief, he feels, he'd just love to be on the beach, smelling that wind, up the mountains, feeling that breeze caress his cheek. Oh, he'd like to be there in the night when the wind blows soft and quiet. And he has this experience of smelling and reverie And then he snaps to and he finds himself surrounded by all these men. He says, and they're all looking down and they say, "Chief, what's in the box?" And he slams the lid shut. He said, "No one look, no one look." "What is it?" they say, "Chief, tell us. Tell us what's in the box." He says, "Nobody look. I'm going to take this home and examine it. There might be something very precious. I need to have a proper look." So that's what he does. He takes it back to his caravan. He takes it back to his caravan. And the day ends, and the witch, even she, goes home, and he's all alone in this caravan, and he's quite sure he's alone. He peeks just to be sure no one's looking through his windows, looking through the caravan windows, or anyone else is still lurking around the site. And when he's quite sure he's alone, he lifts the lid of the box and he smells. But there's no smell inside that box now. No, there's no smell at all. His nose is quivering, but he can't smell anything. And it's then that he hears the sound. Oh, what a sound. It's like the waves rolling, rolling, rolling in. It's like the trees rustling, rustling in their topmost branches as the wind moves through them. It's like birds in the trees, all singing at once so lovely. And he has to catch his throat to stop himself crying because it's so, so lovely. Well, he can hardly sleep that night. Oh, yes, he can hardly sleep that night. He wants to speak to the witch. And when she comes in the next morning, he says, "You've got to come into my caravan. Something very strange has happened around here." She says, "Oh, yes, I've heard all about it. I've heard about it from the men." He says, "No, no, no. I didn't really tell them what's happened. Look, you've got to look at this." And she shows him to that box. And she looks at the box. She looks at the box. She said, what? He says, "It's magic. It's weird. There's something strange about it. You ought to have a look." She says, "What?" "Open the lid, open the lid." And she goes to the box and she opens the lid and she looks inside. And what does she see? She says, "Ah, all my friends." And inside the box, she sees all the little creatures that are scurried around the forest when she walks through quiet and silent, that come and watch her gathering herbs. The little, little men and the little, little women that are often out and about in the forest while she's gathering up her herbs and her bits and pieces. She says, "Oh, I didn't realize you were in here." He says, "What are you looking at?" He can't see anything. "What are you looking at?" "Oh, they're so lovely in there. So nice to see you. What are you doing in the box?" And one of them puts her finger to his lips and says, "Shh. Oh, sorry." And she looks at the man. She sees quite clearly he can't see a thing. She says, "Well, it's very strange and very magical. I suggest we invite all the men in and let them have a look." "No," says the man. "No, it's weird. It's strange. They'll all go mad." She says, "Don't worry." So she invites them all in. She invites them all in. Ah, they all have a look. And every man there sees what it is he was most missing in the world. Some of them love sunrises. You ever seen a sunrise? The sun coming up? Ooh. Some of them love sunrises, but they never get to see the sunrise because they're too hard at work. So when they look inside the chest, whoa, it's like the sun is rising. And it's that beautiful. And it's that lovely. Some men, they like seeing the moon late at night, the moon in the sky late at night in the darkness. And when they look in the chest, oh, they see that. They see that. In short, every man looks and sees what it is he's missing in the world, what it is he loves in the world, what it is he wants more of. Well, it's quite a morning and hardly any work gets done. In fact, almost nothing gets done except some tea is made. But at the end of the morning, the foreman, he turns to the old witch and he says, "Listen, you told me that this magic tea of yours would get the men working harder. I haven't seen any work happening here all morning." And she said, "Your men will work very hard now." "Okay," he said. "But," she continued, "they may not work in the way you'd most like." "I don't understand," he said. "Well, they may not work at the things you want them to work at." And he looked out the window and he saw all his men going home. They were leaving the building site. And where were they going? Why, they were going forth to the thing they most missed in the world, to the thing they most wanted to protect. Those that loved the sunrises, why, they'd go off and try and make sure that you could always see them from a good place. Those that loved the moon at night, why, they'd go off and make sure you could always see the moon. Those that loved the air so fresh, they'd make sure the air was always fresh. Those that loved the sound of the waves and the fresh ocean, why, they'd make sure it was always fresh and lovely there. In short, they became the protectors of what's lovely in the world. They became the protectors of what's lovely in the world. And off they went. And they worked ever so hard, in fact, harder than they'd ever worked before. And when the chief, when the foreman, he looked around, he saw all of this. He sat back in his chair. He thought, "Well, if they're all going to leave, maybe I should leave too." So he left. And off he went. And what was his love? Oh yes. His love with the sound of wind in the topmost branches of the trees. And what did he do? He went to where the trees were lovely, where they made that special sound, and he bought that whole section of the forest and made sure no one ever chopped those trees down. And he sat there and he listened, and he listened. Ah. And the witch, she danced a jig through the forest. She was so happy. And as she danced, she heard footsteps behind her. Oh, yes. And do you know what those footsteps were? Do you know what those footsteps were? She turned around and she saw him. There was the green man. The green man coming behind her, playing on his flute. And he fluted. Oh, yes. And then she heard other footsteps coming behind his. And they were all those little creatures, all those little men and women that were always there when she went gathering her herbs. And they too were happy. And I was passing through that forest. Yes, I was. I was passing through that forest. You know what I saw? I saw the lot of them. The lot of them. And I went to the witch. I said, "What's going on here?" She said, "You're a storyteller, aren't you?" I said, "Yes. Could I tell you a story? It'll explain everything." And that's when she started telling. And she told me the whole story that I've just told you.